A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 28. Kopat. Din stared at the pool of Wishak silk in his hands. His pulse fluttered. For a second, Din just held it, frozen. He couldn't think of anything else. "Go on," Boba encouraged, his voice dark and rich. "Take a minute. Get familiar with it." Din licked his lips, feeling suddenly, unaccountably nervous, and did what he was told. Boba hadn't let Din examine any of his equipment since that first night he'd spread everything out for Din and told Din to explore. Any familiarity Din had gained with Boba's various tools and toys since then had come through pain. It might still come with pain, Din thought, winding the silk through his fingers and lifting it so he could get a better look. He couldn't think of what else Boba might use Wishak silk for, if not pain. For control. The silk in Din's hands was fine and well-made, woven together so neatly that it was almost impossible to feel the texture of it. It was nearly weightless, too. It felt like Din had grabbed hold of a ribbon of cool water or a strip of the wind. If he hadn't been looking at it, it would have felt like Din was holding nothing at all. Din rubbed the silk between his forefinger and his thumb. The strip Boba had given him was about 2 inches wide and flimsy thin. If Din didn't already know what it was, he would have laughed. Wishak silk looked like nothing. Like decoration. Like it would be easy to rip or cut or tear. But it isn't. Wishak silk was strong. Din had seen it hold sligs and fully grown Wookiees. He'd even seen it entangle an AT-ST, though the pilot had blown the Wishak that had come out of its den to investigate into the sky before the giant spider had been able to do anything. Wishak silk wasn't as good to hold an enemy as a pair of binders or a carbonite bath, so Din had never bothered to shell out credits for any, even when he'd lived on Kashyyyk, but it was still plenty strong. The silk looked fine and smooth at first glance, but running his thumb over it let Din feel its texture, the slightest catch in it, so fine it was hard to tell the texture of the silk from the texture of Din's thumb. But it was there, which meant that the Wishak silk wasn't just strong, it could hold something, too. Din's heart beat faster just thinking about it. About how the silk would feel wrapped around his wrists, his chest. About how Din could fight it and fight it, twisting and snarling like a captured Kuruna, and only pull it tighter around himself. "You've got an interesting reaction to that," Boba observed. Din flushed. "What does that mean?" he asked. He tried to school his expression into something less openly hungry, but he knew he didn't quite manage it. Boba smirked. "It means," Boba said, "that I've been watching you, Jerrica." Din's flush deepened. He knew that Boba watched him. Boba watched Din all the time. In the throne room, over a meal, out of the corner of his eyes when Din moved around any space that they shared, cleaning his armor or checking his blaster or practicing with the darksaber. It usually didn't bother Din. It didn't even bother Din now, not really. It just heightened Din's awareness, made the back of his neck prickle, half warning, half something else entirely. "You've never reacted to anything that I've shown you," Boba continued, his eyes glittering. "Like you react to that." He nodded at the strip of silk still clutched in Din's hand. "Well," Boba said, "except for my cane, you reacted like this to that, too." Din's mouth went very dry at the mention of the cane. The thing was, Din had hardly thought about the cane at all in the week since Boba had first tipped his crate of tools over onto the work table and told Din to explore. Boba'd never brought a cane out. He'd only ever used a flogger or his clamps. The thought of the cane had slipped quietly into the back of Din's mind. "But I didn't forget about it," Din thought. Boba made no move to go and get it, to give it to Din like he'd handed over the Wishak silk, but Din could still feel the cane anyway, a phantom sensation across his fingertips, sharp and supple, deceptively light. Like the silk, Din thought. A cane laid next to a flogger, especially laid next to a few of Boba's nastier floggers, the textured ones with studs and knots and ridges, looked almost harmless. But it wasn't. Din had only dim memories of the reeds that had grown in the low fields behind his parents' village. Their home had been set into the side of a tall hill, and from the top Din had felt like he could see the entire galaxy. But he'd really only been able to see to the edges of the low fields where the river had run and the reeds had grown thick and tall along its banks. Din's memories of the games he'd played in those low fields with the other kids in the village were so faded that they were more like impressions than memories. High childish laughter, games in the reeds, tagging games and hiding games with Din's older cousins always playing the part of the hungry Urana. Din remembered how soft the tops of the reeds had been, almost like feathers, thousands of tiny seeds flaking off at the slightest touch. Clouds of seeds in the summertime, dry stalks in the winter, burrs that stuck to the folds of Din's clothes. Not all of the reed was soft, Din remembered. He'd gone home with cut legs and arms and cheeks more than once. The edges of the reeds had sometimes been so sharp that the cuts they'd left had been almost bloodless. The pain left behind had been the stinging kind, faint and easily ignored until it couldn't be ignored. Boba's cane would be like that. Soft at first, when Boba traced it across the contour of Din's flank or the meat of his ass. Then sharp and stinging and bright, cutting, when Boba struck with all of his strength. Din's lips parted, his breath caught. "Yeah," Boba rumbled, watching Din intently. "You looked like that. What are you thinking about?" Din swallowed. He wasn't sure what he wanted to say, wasn't sure there was anything he could say. Din didn't have the words to describe what he was thinking about, the old river-washed memories that had surfaced, the dim impressions of thin, shallow cuts. "Jerrica," said Boba patiently, "what are you thinking about?" "The cane," Din admitted. He and Boba hadn't negotiated any new rules yet, but Din was sure that most of the old, the rules about respect, about honesty, would stay the same. How it would feel if you used it. "Used it how?" Boba asked, his tone light and coaxing. His tone was at odds with his expression, which was intense in its raw desire. Din wanted to pull away from that scrutiny, that knowing, and he wanted to split himself open before it. He wanted Boba to see, to know everything about Din that he wanted to know. "If you hit me with it," Din said. He ran his thumb over the wishock silk again, letting the texture of it root him inside his body. If you cut me with it." Boba made a deep sound in the back of his throat. Not a groan, but close. It made something in Din's body answer, swaying towards Boba before Din could catch himself. "Is that something you think you'd want?" Boba asked. He hadn't moved a step closer. Din shrugged a little. "I don't know," he said honestly. When Din had cut himself playing in the reeds as a child, he just... well, he didn't remember what exactly he'd done, but he was pretty sure his mother or his father had just smoothed a bit of Bacta over the cuts, told Din to be more careful, and bundled him back off to play. Every time Din had gotten cut since then, it had usually been by accident. Din had been clumsy during his growth spurts, or in a fight. A cut was different than a bruise. A bruise could be savored, could be used. A cut could only heal or fail to heal, and Din had never wanted to risk an infection by leaving a cut untended. "But if Boba does it, he'll take care of it for me," Din reasoned. Boba had taken such fastidious care of Din's bruises, better care of Din's bruises than Din had preferred, honestly, that Din knew, instinctively, that Boba would never let a cut fester. He'll probably know how to give someone a cut, any injury, and take care of it so it doesn't get worse, but it can still be useful. Din thought of the razor Boba'd used to shave him in the pool underneath Jabba's old tower, the way the blade had felt as Boba laid it against Din's cheek, the fine edge of it. His pulse picked up. "I don't know," Din repeated. He met Boba's eyes. "But I'd be willing to find out." Boba chuckled. "Up for anything," he said fondly, "aren't you?" There wasn't much of anything Din could say to that. He certainly couldn't deny it, not with the way his pulse had picked up, with how his cock was beginning to stir, with the tight grip Din still had on the strip of Wishark silk. But admitting it, admitting that Din was willing to do just about anything that Boba asked him to do, even if it meant pain, especially if it meant pain, was too difficult, too honest. The words stuck in Din's throat. Boba saw them anyway. He made a considering sound, then held one big, broad hand out. Din eyed it like it was a hissing anaconda coiled to strike. "Give that here," said Boba. Din curled his fingers over the strip of silk almost reflexively, a faint defiance rising in the back of his mind. He didn't want Boba to take it back and put it away. Din wanted... "I don't know what I want," he thought. "Or, I do know, but I don't know if Boba will let me have it." The wound underneath Din's ribs wasn't serious, not by Din's usual standards. None of his scrapes and bruises were serious, but the wound was bad enough that Din had needed Bacta for it. Din doubted that Boba would do anything to him until Din had healed up. "Gorga the Karking Hutt," thought Din sourly. He'd been fine until Gorga's mercs had crashed through the palace. Din had been whole and unbruised and well-fed, back up to fighting strength. Now it'll be days before Boba hits me again. Boba chuckled again. "Give me the silk, Jerrica," Boba said. "We still have a few things to talk about." "If you're good," he added, eyes bright, when Din still hesitated. "I'll give it back." Boba kept his word. "Fine," Din grumbled, holding the Wishhawk silk out. Boba took it gently, the silk brushing against Din's fingers as Boba pulled it free. "Impatient," Boba teased. Din rolled his eyes. He tucked his hunger away. Either Boba would give it back, would give Din something to do with the Wishhawk silk, or he wouldn't. It was out of Din's control now. The thought of that, of control in Boba's hands again, made Din's cock twitch again, made his pulse hammer in his throat. Din swallowed. He wondered if Boba could see that, too. "So," Din said, spreading his now empty hands. "Rules?" "You can do better than that," Boba said, his tone hardening. "Can't you?" Din swallowed. He knew what Boba wanted. The last time they'd done this, set rules, Din had been on his knees. Din had gone to his knees plenty of times by now. He didn't mind it, usually. Din even liked it, because he didn't have to think when he was on his knees. He didn't have to try and pretend to be someone he wasn't anymore, didn't have to posture or try to hide what he felt. But something about Boba's tone, Boba's expectation, made Din grit his teeth. Din stayed upright, digging his heels in instinctively. Boba let him have his moment of defiance. His expression was still and unchanging, set in that familiar, dark, fierce expectation, that certainty that he'd be obeyed. Din wrestled with himself for a few moments more, his instinctive stubbornness pushing against his desire to do what Boba wanted, and then Din slid off his chair a moment later, folding neatly to his knees, as Din's interest in pleasing Boba, in being good, won out. It usually does win out, Din thought, arranging himself on the floor. He was very familiar with this now. The feeling of the sandstone floor digging into his knees, the desert breeze drifting across the back of his neck, the way every sound and sensation amplified, and the way Din's whole body lit up with the awareness of where Boba was and what Boba was doing. "Better," said Boba. His voice had roughened. Din shivered. Boba walked in a slow, pacing circle around Din, the strip of Wishhawk silk trailing from his fingers. Din let him, straightening his back, settling his weight evenly across his knees and the balls of his feet. Boba paced another circle, orbiting Din like some great, graceful predator, then came to a stop in front of Din, 2 or 3 feet away. Din frowned a little at that and resisted the urge to lean towards him, to try to get closer to his warmth, to the shelter of Boba's body. "So," Din repeated, softer this time. "Rules?" Boba conceded, some of his intensity fading a little. He didn't move to get any closer, which was disappointing. Last time he'd been more than happy to negotiate with his hand tangled in Din's hair. Last time I hadn't lied to him, Din thought wryly, the familiar prickle of guilt tugging at him again. Last time, Bobud thought that Din was a Mandalorian. He'd said that he was past it now, that Boba wasn't bothered by Din being Darmanda, but Din knew that it had to bother Boba at least a little. It definitely bothers him that I didn't tell him, at least. Rules, Boba agreed. He wound the strip of silk around four of his fingers absently, studying Din. I thought we could start with the rules we've already agreed to, he continued. Then go from there. Good? Din nodded reluctantly. Good, said Boba. Can you recite them back for me, the rules we've already agreed to? Din eyed him. I can, he said. He doubted that Boba had forgotten, since most of the rules had been ones that Boba'd come up with in the first place, which meant that Boba wanted Din to... To what, Din thought? Prove that I was listening? If this was a test, Din was determined to meet it. Boba watched Din for another heartbeat and softened. We don't have to do this now, you know, he said. It's been a long day. Din snorted. It had been a long day. He was sore and tired, and his head was still whirling from everything he'd learned on the light cruiser, with the effort it had taken to listen to Koska and Bo-Katan to meet the other Mandalorians, the effort it had taken to pretend to still be one of them. But leaving things like this, Din thought, unresolved, isn't gonna help me any. If Din and Boba didn't talk about whatever this was, whatever Boba was willing to let this be, Din knew that he wouldn't sleep much tonight. I'm all right, Din said. He wasn't fine, not really, but he was all right as he could be given the circumstances. We can. I can do this now. If you can. Boba raised an eyebrow. If I can, he said, sounding vaguely incredulous. I'm not the one who was impaled today, Jarika. Only a little impaled, Din stressed. He gripped his knees hard enough that the joints in his fingers creaked for want of something better to do with them. It's fine. T6 checked me out. Won't even leave much of a scar when it's done healing, he said. Boba snorted. That's not exactly a carking endorsement, he said. Din bared his teeth. If you don't want to do this, he said, bristling, then we don't have to. If you're worried about me, or if you're too tired, you fought today too, Din said. Boba hadn't taken the hits that Din and Fennec had, by design, since that was the point of having a bunch of guards around, the point of having Talvore. But he'd spent the time Din had been on the light cruiser combing through the palace, tending to the injured, trying to figure out what to do next. If Boba wanted to wait. If you want to wait, Din continued, fighting to keep his voice even, to keep himself from snapping and snarling like a cornered animal. Then I can wait. I can wait. But just... Din fell silent, feeling mutinous again. He didn't know why he only seemed to have the two reactions to Boba like this. Either Din was leaning in desperate for more, for anything that Boba would give him, or Din was prickling, bristling, putting his hackles up. Both reactions left him unsettled. Just what? Boba pressed. Din blew out a breath. Just tell me, Din said. Just tell me. Boba's expression softened a fraction. I'm all right to keep going, Jarika, he said. I've had worse days. I'd rather get this conversation out in the open. If we leave it like this, I'm going to be thinking about it all carking night. Me too, Din admitted. Boba inclined his head. Go on, then, he said. Give me the rules. He didn't ask this time. Din let that settle him some and took another deep breath. Fine, Din said, and gave Boba all of his rules back at once, ticking them off on one hand. First, to try anything you suggest at least once. Then, to keep this arrangement separate from everything else. Din flushed a little at that, the tips of his ears burning. I messed that one up, he thought. Din had carried the way he felt in this room, the way he felt during the sessions with Boba, for lack of a better word to call them, outside of it. He'd brought it to the throne room, imagining himself kneeling at Boba's feet, to the light cruiser defending Boba against Koska Reeves. Boba didn't comment, though, so Din made himself keep going. Respect, Din said, and honesty. Those were all the rules Boba had given Din. The last rule had been Din's own, and Din faltered again, reciting it back. And secrecy, said Din, opening his thumb. Was it only 5 rules, Din wondered? Was that it? Laid end to end like that, one after the other, Boba's rules didn't seem like much at all. But Boba was nodding, the shape of praise clear in his mouth, so Din hadn't missed any. Orijate, Boba said, and the praise went through Din like it always did, a warm curl that hooked itself underneath Din's ribs and drew him closer to Boba, reeled Din in, left him hungry for more. Have I always been like this? Din wondered. Or is it just because it's Boba? Din wanted to please Boba. That wasn't new. He'd wanted to please Boba, to win Boba's respect, his admiration, almost from the moment he'd stepped into Jabba's palace and found Boba on the throne. But was I always like this? As a new foundling, Din had fought so hard, harder than anyone else in his age group, to prove that he'd been worth it. That Din had been worth the danger that Mandalorian warrior had put himself in, carrying Din up and out of the burning ruins of his village. That Din had been worth the food the covert had put in his mouth, the protection they'd offered him, the care they'd shown. That he'd been worth every piece of sticky ooze cake and every extra minute his teachers had given him after foundling training to help Din catch up to, and then surpass, the other foundlings. That it had been worth all of Din's broken fingers and split knuckles, worth the tears he'd cried to himself at night, huddled away from the other foundlings, missing his parents and his village and his world so badly it had felt like a wound that would never close. Worth the beatings he'd taken in spars, worth the Beskar Palace had spent to see Din brought in formally as a foundling, worth moving coverts every few months, worth the fear. Din looked down at his other hand, which was still gripping his knee, white-knuckled. I've always had something to prove, he thought. He looked up at Boba. But this is different. It's different. This closeness, the way Din wanted more, went past just wanting Boba's respect, went past wanting to prove that Din was worth Boba's time. Din wasn't sure what he wanted. The words for it escaped him. He shook his head a little in wordless frustration. Boba made a deep, soothing sound low in his throat, almost a croon, and Din swayed towards Boba again without consciously deciding to do so. Boba took pity on Din then, stepped closer and closed the distance between them, tangling a hand in Din's hair. He let Din press his forehead to Boba's thigh. The solidity of his body was a welcome relief. Udesi, Boba murmured, scratching Din's scalp lightly. The edges of the wishhawk silk brushed the back of Din's neck, tickled over his bare shoulders. Din twitched, but didn't pull away. Udesi, Boba repeated. I know you don't like to talk about this. You don't like to talk about it either, Din muttered. Boba chuckled. It's not my favorite thing in the galaxy, no, he said. But it's important. You know it's important, right? Reluctantly, Din nodded. Why? So no one gets hurt in a way they didn't mean to get hurt, Din said. He was immediately rewarded with strong fingers curling in his hair and tugging hard. Pain flared up, bright as stars. His head snapped up, drawn back to meet Boba's gaze. Boba stared down at Din with open hunger, black and warm in his eyes. Orijate, Boba rumbled, and Din couldn't hide his whole body shiver, not like this. Couldn't hide the way the words affected him, how much he wanted them. Boba's grip softened again, the pads of his fingers working to smooth over the sparks of pain he'd caused just a second before, and the contrast in sensations left Din dizzy. The rules are protection, Boba said, his tone gentling alongside his touch. For you and for me. It puts us both on the same footing. You remember what I told you? Din reached back for that first conversation. No, Din thought, not a conversation, a negotiation. Sometimes things get intense even for me, Boba had said. My partner will want to go places that I can't or won't go. They'd been talking about Gev at the time. Boba had told Din that Din could use Gev to stop whatever Boba was doing, and he'd said that he could use Gev too. The word protects us both, he'd said. The rules, these rules, were like that. They weren't just for Din's benefit, but for Boba's too. Because it would hurt him, Din realized. To hurt me in a way he didn't intend to hurt me. It would hurt him. Boba had said as much on the Huntress, flying back from Arcanus. It had hurt Boba to cause Din unintentional pain. A pain I couldn't get out of, that I couldn't get away from or choose to stop. Din nodded, slowly. He understood. Good, Boba said. So you know why we need to talk about this, even if we'd both prefer to stop talking entirely and take the rest of our clothes off. Din shivered a little, even as he scowled, needled again by Boba's light humor. You're only bringing that up to distract me, Din grumbled. Boba chuckled. Not only to distract you, he said. I like to see you get flustered, too. Why? Boba shrugged. His fingers stopped rubbing soothing little circles into Din's scalp, and Din couldn't help but tense in expectation. Because no one else has been able to see you get flustered, said Boba. And I'm greedy. Din stared up at him, shocked by the admission. Boba shrugged a little again. We did agree on honesty, he pointed out, tone dry. Not just that you'd be honest with me, but that I'd be honest too. So, I'll be honest. I'm greedy, and I like having this part of you. Any part of you that no one else has had before. Din started, completely disarmed by Boba's honesty, even as that feeling, that preening hungry thing that craved Boba's approval, that craved meeting the challenges Boba'd set for Din, that wanted to match Boba step for step and blow for blow, unfurled itself in Din's belly. Oh, Din said. Boba's eyes turned up at the corners. Oh, he agreed. He went back to his light petting, leaving Din to cautiously relax again. So you remember all the rules we agreed to before, Boba said. Are there any you want to keep, any you want to get rid of or change? I didn't start it again, his thoughts still spinning. It was hard to think like this. Din wanted to hide his face in Boba's thigh again, but wasn't sure that Boba would let him. Din just wanted... No, he told himself sternly. It doesn't matter what I want right now. This is important. The rules aren't just for me, they're for Boba, too. Din took a deep breath and made himself pull his thoughts back into something like an order, something intelligible. Honesty is one that we should keep, Din said, pushing past his discomfort. About being Darmanda, I didn't... No, said Boba firmly, tugging a little on Din's hair again. Din let him, relieved that Boba stepped in to take control again, even if it was just for a moment. No, Din. I'm not gonna... You have never owed me honesty in everything that we do, Boba said. We agreed to that, too, that what we did in this room had nothing to do with the other work for me, that you were allowed to keep your secrets and me mine. I wish... Well, it doesn't matter what I wish. Yes, it does, Din thought, guilt twisting in his chest. He searched Boba's face. You wish that I had told you, Din said. The corner of Boba's mouth pulled down. It would have made some things easier, he admitted. I would have approached things a little differently if I'd known. Boba had said that to Din before. How long's it been since someone's touched you, Boba had asked, without your armor on. He was surprised when I told him it had been more than a year, Din remembered. He said he would have taken a different approach with me if he'd known. What does that mean? Din asked warily. A different approach. Boba shrugged. It doesn't matter now, he said. Yes, it does, Din said. It still bothers you, he tried to explain. I can see that it still bothers you. Boba grimaced. It's not your job to take care of me, Jerrica, he said. That's not what this is about. Din scowled again, and Boba must have sensed the argument building in the back of Din's throat, because he sighed, tugged Din's hair gently again, and said, I would have talked more, that's all, about gratie. Punishment, he added, when he saw that Din didn't recognize the word. Din's mouth went dry. Punishment, he repeated. Gratie, like gratua, vengeance? Boba inclined his head. In its way, he said. Din licked his lips to wet them. Why would you have talked more about punishment? In their initial negotiation about all of this, Boba had only mentioned punishment in passing. He'd said that it was sometimes part of arrangements like these, and that Din could earn a punishment by breaking any of the rules they'd agreed to that day. Usually bad manners, Boba had said. Disrespect. Din's heart sank. Does calling myself a Mandalorian when I'm not, letting Boba call me one when I should have corrected him, count as disrespect? It was certainly dishonest. Din hadn't lied outright because Boba hadn't asked Din directly if he was still Mandoad or not, but Din had known that he was Darmanda and he'd chosen not to say anything. He'd let Boba pay him in Beskar. He'd let Boba and Fennec and Nora and the others call him Mando. Hey, said Boba, tugging Din's hair again to get his attention back, then tugging harder when Din refused to meet his eyes. I would have done things differently, Boba said. But that doesn't mean that I regret what we've already done. Don't, Din started, upset and not sure why, off balance, seething with guilt. Don't act like it doesn't matter. That you're Darmanda, Boba said softly. Din nodded as best he could with Boba's hands still in his hair. Boba made Din look him in the eye. It doesn't matter, he said. Din stared at him. Jaren, I don't give a cark that you're Darmanda. Din rocked back on his heels, breath short like he'd been punched in the chest. Of course it matters, Din managed to say. How can you... It has to matter. Not to me, Boba said simply. Din just kept staring at him. Boba sighed. I'm not Kreese, he said, and I'm not your lord. I don't care what creed you follow or don't follow, what rules or promises you've broken. How can you say that? Din asked. He hated the frantic edge to his voice, but didn't know how to hide it. He didn't understand. How could Boba say that it didn't matter? Din had broken his creed. He'd broken it. That was... Din, said Boba, and the gentleness in his tone was worse than anything he'd ever done to Din in this room, worse than a flogger, worse than a hand around Din's throat, worse than a razor pressed to the fragile skin of Din's cheek. That gentleness hurt so badly Din couldn't even swallow around it. He felt the word Gev pressed against the backs of his teeth. Din, said Boba, terrible and gentle at the same time. I went back on everything that my father and my father's father stood for. Din stilled. Boba offered him a small, grim smile. My father went back on his word to Jester Mareel, broke the Super Commando Codex and the Resolnare, too. My father died without being able to atone for any of that. I don't even know if he wanted to atone for it, but now he can't. He can't ever atone for it. Boba sighed. For years, he continued, the only code or creed I kept was my own. I worked for Jabba. I worked for Vader. What's your point? Din growled. He wasn't angry, or he didn't want to be angry, but Din didn't know how else to respond. He didn't want to hear this, the edge of absolution, of forgiveness buried in Boba's voice. Don't forgive me, Din wanted to shout. My own brothers and sisters aren't allowed to forgive me. You can't. It's not something that can be forgiven. My point, Boba said, holding Din's gaze, is that you're a man, and sometimes men cark up. I'm a man. My father was a man. Men aren't the Kara, Din. You broke your creed. All right. You don't want to call yourself Mandalorian anymore. All right. I understand that, too. He said that his father walked away from it all. Boba's father, Jango Fett, had turned his back on Mandalore. He hadn't wanted to be a Mandalorian at all after what had happened with Death Watch. But Boba loves his father, Din thought, confused. If his father was Darmanda too, how can he... Boba didn't give Din time to finish that thought. No man, said Boba quietly, can tell another man what he is or isn't, what he believes in or doesn't believe in. You say you're Darmanda, all right, I can't change that. I think your creed was wrong, but I can't change how you feel about it, and I'm not going to punish you for it either. So, what would you have changed? Din asked, once he'd cycled through half a dozen responses and settled on the only one that wouldn't end with Din shouting at Boba. His thoughts churned and seethed. How can Boba say something like that? Din wondered. How can it not matter to him? I'm Darmanda. I can't be trusted. I can't be trusted. But Boba... I would have told you from the start exactly what I would and wouldn't punish you for, said Boba. What rules you'd have to break to earn a punishment and how severe the punishment would be. Why? Din asked again, still struggling to understand. So you knew when you were being punished and why, said Boba. His eyes were shadowed and distant. So that I knew when you were being punished, too. Guilt stabbed through Din's chest again, much sharper and much worse than that splinter of wood. I've already told you, Din said, though even to his own ears the word sounded a little weak. None of this has been a punishment. That's not what I wanted. Not even the floggings had been a punishment. They'd been hard to bear. They'd hurt. But they'd been something else. Not quite a reward, but a tool, maybe. Something Din had used over and over again to focus himself, to stay sharp. They hadn't been a punishment. Boba looked down at Din again. I believe you, he said. But it's still a thought I have. If I'd known you were Darmanda, and that you felt guilty for breaking your creed, I would have put some safeguards, that's all. Definitions, if you like. Definitions? Boba shrugged. Boundaries, he said. He lightened a little, clearly trying to pull Din along with him. It's something I'm gonna insist on moving forward, he said. We're gonna define what will and won't earn you a punishment, Jerrica. Din bit back a groan. More talking, he thought. Boba caught it anyway and chuckled, smoothing down a few of Din's curls. I know, he said. We don't have to do it tonight. I'm not gonna flog you tonight. But you will again, Din asked. Boba said, moving forward. That meant that he was willing to keep going, to keep letting Din come to him like this. Doesn't it? Boba studied Din for a long, quiet moment. His hand stopped moving in Din's hair. I would like to, Boba finally said, his admission frank and honest. And I think you'd like to, too. Yes, Din said. Boba hummed. Which is why, he said, resuming the slow, gentle circles in Din's hair. We're talking about rules, Jerrica. And that's fine, he added. Rules, none of them are bound in bedrock. Agreements like this are like the desert. Things change over time. People change. What you want in one session might not be what you want in the next. Din blew out a breath, trying to meet Boba on Boba's terms. So, what, he asked, we talk about some rules, set new ones, and go back to the way things were? Ah, said Boba. He tugged on Din's curls gently, then less gently when Din shifted under his hands. The faint sparks of pain were good, sweet. They promised more. Din half wanted to lean into Boba's touch and half wanted to pull away to make the hurt even sharper. No, Boba continued, not the way things were. But we can move forward, if that's what you want. On to the next thing. Din nodded. He supposed that he understood. It was like the Creed. Din couldn't go back and mend what he'd broken by taking his helmet off on Morak. The Creed was not something that could be repaired or returned to. But Din liked the idea of something new. Something into something better, Din thought. Even thinking like that felt heretical, felt like an invitation for the Allure to pop up from underneath Boba's bed or drop down from the open windows and put an anvil between Din's eyes. But something that I can hold on to. Din had already decided that breaking the Creed didn't mean that Din had to abandon everything he'd ever learned, every way he'd ever behaved. Din could still be upright and honest and honorable. He could fight beside his allies and keep his word. He could look after foundlings and serve his Allure. He wouldn't be able to call himself Mandalorian, but just because Din had broken his creed didn't mean that he was a Wurak already. Maybe this is like that, Din thought. Maybe Boba and Din couldn't go back to the uncomplicated arrangement they'd had before Strill had come bursting down the stairs, but we can still have something, Din thought. Hope kindled in his chest, bright and fierce. Something new. He liked the idea of that. The next thing, said Din slowly. He looked up at Boba. Okay, he said. Boba rewarded Din with a faint smile. Good, he said. He let Din go, finally, the Wishok silk brushing past Din's ear as Boba took his hand back. He didn't move away, though, so Din took advantage of his newfound freedom and pressed his face against Boba's thigh again, focusing on the rough texture of Boba's pants, the faint smell of freshly laundered clothes, and the fainter smell of another man. So, rules, said Boba, returning to the matter at hand. I'd like to keep at least our first rule the same, the one about you trying what I asked you to try at least once. Objections? Din shook his head into the fabric of Boba's pants. Boba huffed, amused. Verbal confirmation, Jerrica, he said. Does that work for you, trying what I ask you to try? Yes, said Din, muffled. It's worked for me so far. He still dreaded the thought of some of those tools and toys Boba had shown him. The textured paddles, the reed cane. His heart beat faster just thinking about it. Din had been apprehensive every time Boba had asked him to try something new. But he'd enjoyed almost all of it once his body had figured out how to process the new types of pain Boba had introduced it to. There's nothing you want to rule out. No, said Din, shaking his head. His forehead brushed reassuringly against the corded bulk of Boba's thigh. Nothing we haven't already covered, anyway. Din was still pretty sure that he wouldn't enjoy being electrocuted like an errant bantha. He hesitated. Maybe rule out anything that's too serious, at least for now. He didn't want Boba to do anything that would take Din more than a few days to recover from, either. Gorga was still out there. There were still threats to the palace, to its people. Din needed to stay in fighting shape. But nothing Boba had done so far, not even that second flogging with the knotted flogger and its uneven blows, had put Din down for even a day. Boba was brutal when he wanted to be, but also fastidious with his care once he'd finished. All right, said Boba, easily enough. We'll keep that one, then. Second, he said, and Din couldn't help but tense at Boba's tone, because this was the rule that Din had so badly blurred. We agreed to keep this arrangement, and he touched the back of Din's neck, feather light, separate from the other work you do for me. I don't know how to keep it separate, Din thought. He loved Boba. That was maybe not Din's brightest idea, given the lives that both of them lived, given the enemies they had and Din's quest with Kreese, but it was true. They hadn't made any promises of honesty yet, hadn't sworn anything to each other. They hadn't even talked about the fact that their arrangement, once just a simple matter between Din and Boba, had shifted. Muspelgo had joined in on Boba's outfit at Din's urging. Boba was sheltering Paz and Strill and Jaig and the kids because Din had asked him to. Din was friends with Fennec and Nora now, and they were friends with him. Din had all but shouted his allegiance to Boba in front of Koska and Bo-Katan. He was going to have to talk to Boba about that, too. About what he'd said to Koska and Kreese, about what Kreese wanted. Kreese doesn't have any place here, Din thought firmly, and pushed her out of his head. He'd tell Boba later. I don't know how to keep it separate, Din admitted, leaning harder against Boba's leg. It's a good rule, but... Hard to enforce, Boba said, skimming a hand over Din's hair again. His tone was wry. Yeah, I know what you mean. They were both quiet for a moment. I don't know the answer, Boba finally said, pulling his hand away again. Maybe there isn't one. This is new for me, too. It is? Din asked, surprised. Boba shot him a wry look. You don't exactly see Theron up here every morning having first meal, Jerrica, do you? Din flushed. No, he muttered. Boba inclined his head. This is... Usually I insist on some separation, he said. But I don't usually do this with friends, either, so... Yeah. It's a bit new. Do you... Din swallowed, chest aching. Do you want it to be separate? I can always eat first meal with Fennec and Nora. I can clean my armor in my own room, practice with the Darksaber somewhere else. I don't have to be here, not if you don't want me to be. Maybe there isn't an answer, Boba repeated. He didn't say that he'd send Din away, that more separation would be good, and Din couldn't help but be grateful, his heart kicking in his ribs. Din was perfectly capable of being alone. He'd been solitary almost his entire adult life. It would be fine. If his being here, being in Boba's space all the time, blurring the separation between them, was a problem for Boba, Din could stop. I don't want you to leave, Boba said, his voice very quiet. He smiled at Din crookedly. Relief flickered in Din's chest. I don't want you to leave, Boba repeated. I dunno, we can come up with some boundaries or something. Boundaries? Yeah, you know, Boba said. No going to your knees for me in the middle of the throne room, for example. No matter what it'd do for my reputation. Din snorted a little, despite himself, and despite the pulse of heat that went from the bottom of his ribs to the bottom of his belly, despite the heat that had begun to fill Din's cock. I wouldn't do that anyway, Din said. Probably. Not unless you asked. Good to know, said Boba, a laugh buried somewhere in his voice. Din shifted a little, pulling away from Boba's legs slightly so that Boba wouldn't be able to feel the way Din's body felt about that idea, about the thought of going to his knees for Boba in front of everyone in the throne room. These boundaries, they don't have to be solid, Boba continued. We can move them around as we need to, but in the throne room, I need you to be... A Mandalorian, Din muttered. Boba had the audacity to flick Din, a hollow thunk echoing against the back of Din's ear. Din hadn't been flicked since he'd been a child misbehaving in the practice ring. He was so offended that he pulled back, outraged, and glared up at Boba. Boba smirked back, then sobered again. I don't care if you're a Mandalorian or not, Boba repeated. I care if you're honest with me. I don't care what you call yourself or whether or not you show your face. Din nodded, something hot and heavy lodged in his throat. I can be loyal, Din said, and honest. That was already a rule. I can... Boba held up a hand. I am not, he said, slowly and clearly, interested in your secrets, Jerrica, and I'm not asking for your singular loyalty. What do you mean? You've got other ties, Boba said, don't you? To the Jedi sheltering your son, to Kreese, to other people. Reluctantly, Din nodded. I'm not asking you to give those up, said Boba. His mouth quirked up into a half smile. I'd be lying if I said that all of my loyalties were in one place, one person. His father. Din remembered Fennec's warning. His stomach twisted. You've got other things on your mind, Boba continued. Other oaths. That's fine. I'm not asking you to give all of that up for me. I'm not even asking you to tell me about them. I'm just asking. Be honest with me. If you're going off to help Kreeg with her Jarrah Shoribora, tell me before you go. If I ask you to do something that bothers you, something that goes against an oath you've sworn, tell me. Boba leaned down and rapped his knuckles, not so gently, against Din's forehead. Din wrinkled his nose, but didn't pull away. Like taking your helmet off, said Boba. I didn't know that it hurt you, doing that for us. It didn't hurt, Din said, scowling a little. I wasn't even supposed to put it back on after Morak, but... But I wanted to, Din wanted to say. But I needed it to fight Gideon. It's protection. It's armor. And the way I live my life, I need armor. Din would have been dead 100 times over if he'd taken his armor off on Morak like he'd been supposed to. He would have died on the light cruiser, crushed by the dark troopers, in the canyons with Jalto, on Boz Pity when he'd been ferrying Pyrrha Windrunner and the other escaped slaves to their next drop point. Here in the palace, Din thought. On the road to Mos Eisley. In the desert somewhere, his bones picked over by Urusai and Jundabirds. But I need the armor, Din said. I need it so I can keep fighting, so I can protect everyone I need to protect. I'm supposed to give it up, but... But I don't want to. The realization was stark and cold and bright, like night in the middle of the Great Dune Sea. I don't want to. If I give up my armor, it's not just me who suffers. It's never just been me. I won't be able to protect Boba. I won't be able to protect the Jedi if the remnants come for Grogu. I won't even be able to help Kreez. If I don't have my armor, she won't take me. But there are still things I need to do that I need it for, Din continued. His voice was hoarse, but he made himself keep talking. I need it. The armor, the helmet. I'm not gonna take it from you, Boba returned. His voice as even and steady as Din's was rough and unsure. That's what I'm trying to say, Jerrica. I won't ask you to give it up. I won't ask you to give up your quest with Kreez. I don't want you to put me and what you do for me above anything else you've agreed to do. Understand? I just want you to tell me, Boba continued. His voice did waver then, and Din's heart twisted. I just want to know, Boba said. He reached out again, but instead of flicking Din's ear or rapping his knuckles against Din's forehead, Boba just traced the scar on the bridge of Din's nose with a thumb. I just want to know, he repeated, so no one gets hurt in a way they didn't mean to get hurt. You're not asking for separation, Din asked, confused. Boba smiled crookedly. We're past that, Jerrica, he said. Din couldn't help but snort, agreeing. They were past the point of pretending that this arrangement couldn't affect the way they interacted with each other outside of Boba's rooms. We're friends, Din said, aren't we? Something flickered across Boba's dark eyes. We are, he said. So can we keep being friends? Din asked. He hated how nervous he sounded, like a child afraid of being left alone in the dark. But Boba had seen worse from Din now. He'd seen Din angry, he'd seen Din panicked. This wasn't anything new. Outside of this room, Din clarified when Boba's expression didn't change. I know it's not what we agreed on at first, he said. But everyone knows that we're friends already. Valerian knew, and she's never been to the palace. Boba's expression flickered again. Valerian knew that we're friends. Din nodded. Well, he admitted, reaching up to rub a nervous hand across his mouth. She actually called me your favorite Masif, specifically. But she knew that I'm with you, anyway. That there is no separation, at least for me. Boba had wanted this arrangement to stand apart from his relationship with Din outside of this room. In here, they were something. Something that Din doubted would be easily understood by the average denizen of Tatooine. And this was private. This was intimate. Was close. Din didn't want to share it with anyone else. He understood Boba's intentions. He wanted to follow them. But I feel the same way about him here as I do standing watch in the throne room, Din thought. I'm not saying, Din hurried to add when Boba was still quiet above him, that I'll drop to my knees in the throne room or that I'll do whatever you say without asking questions. And you're right, I do have other ties. Grogu, my son, I'm not going to do anything for you that would put him in danger, Din said. And I promised Luke Skywalker that I wouldn't tell anyone where he'd taken Grogu. I promised Bo-Katan that I'd help her reclaim Mandalore, or at least that I'd try. I intend to keep those promises and those secrets, but... Din stopped and shook his head. Words failed him. He didn't know what else he could say. But, he thought, looking up at Boba, who was staring down at Din with wide, startled eyes... Maybe I know what to do. Slowly, carefully, Din tipped forward again and rested his forehead on Boba's thigh. His heart was beating Anuba fast, and fear flickered around the edges of his thoughts. Boba could just as easily decide that this is all too much, that Din had pushed Boba too far, that Din's attachment to Boba was too deep, that it was too dangerous, that Boba had too many other things to worry about. I'd understand, Din thought, a little wild. I would understand. But then Boba slowly, carefully, laid a hand against the back of Din's head. That carking strip of Wishok silk brushed the sensitive skin at the back of Din's neck. They stayed like that for a long minute. Boba's touch was familiar, warm. Din had gotten used to him by now. Separation, Boba said hoarsely. Might not be possible anymore. Not like it was. Does that bother you? Din shook his head. This time Boba didn't make him say it out loud, for which Din was grateful. Din wasn't sure he could say it. This, he could do this. He could use his body to show his affection, but saying it... Boba's fingers found Din's curls again. He didn't pull, not yet, but the promise of it was there. Din almost shivered with relief. If you're all right with it, I can be too, said Boba. I don't want blind obedience from you, Jerrica. Not even in this room, and certainly not in the throne room. I need to know that you can think for yourself. If you're looking to me first and something happens... I didn't look to you first, Din said, still muffled. He felt a tremor pass through the fingers in his hair. When the mercs came down the stairs, I know how to fight, Boba. I've been fighting a lot longer than I've been doing this, Din fumbled, still not entirely sure what to call this. Din had protected Fennec first, shielding her behind his armor, and then he'd gone for anyone who'd looked like a threat. That was trained instinct. That was 30 years as a Mandalorian and half that as Baroia. Din didn't need Boba to tell him how to fight. That's not what I need you for, Din said, voicing the thought. It stuck behind his teeth, but he said it anyway. It was as close as he could get to what he felt. What do you need me for? Boba asked quietly. Din looked up at him then, resting his chin above Boba's knee. Quiet, said Din honestly. In here. He reached up and pushed his thumb against his forehead, digging into the old scar Boba had touched just a few minutes ago. Peace. It brings you peace? Boba asked. His expression had gone very grave. What we do? It does, Din said. Or as close to peace as someone like me can get. Someone like you. Boa's eyes were dark. A Mandalorian? A fighter, Din said. He had, at last, said the right thing. Din could see it in Boba's eyes, in the way his grave expression finally eased, the tension bleeding out of him. Din tucked his face away, concerned that he'd seen too much. Showed too much. Boba let him. I can give you quiet, Boba said. We can work out how that works exactly, but I can give you that. Does it have to be different from how it's been? Din asked. The last few weeks have been good, he finished a little lamely. After Boba and Din had finished with their arguing, after they'd gotten Paz settled and Din and Boba had found a middle ground between them, taking a few weeks to wait before this conversation, a few weeks to think and also a few weeks to just be after a period of frantic activity, had been a good idea. Not that I'm going to tell him that, Din thought. Boba didn't need any more excuses to be smug about something or other. Usually Boba's confidence was half reassuring and half something else, something hot and electric and interesting, something that kept Din's eyes on Boba no matter who else was in the room. But sometimes, though, Boba's confidence just grated on Din's nerves. Boba accepted this particular victory gracefully enough, though. He hummed deep in his throat and lightly scratched at Din's scalp. How it's been, Boba said. Explain. Din sighed. The last few weeks, he clarified. After we got back from Arcanus, after we got Ushi back here, where it's, I don't know, I haven't expected anything, Din said. It's just been good. To share a meal every now and then, to watch you work, or to work around you. It's been good, that's all. Boba softened. It's familiar, he said. Isn't it? It's Yaimla. Din's heart twisted in his chest. He didn't need Boba to define that word for him. Like home. Yes, Din said roughly, before he could convince himself not to say anything at all. It's like that. Din hadn't needed Boba to set up each day before the day had happened. He hadn't needed Boba to tell him where to go or what to do, beyond the usual Baroya work anyway. And he hadn't needed to tell Din what nights to stay and what nights to leave. He hadn't needed to tell Din when to kneel, either, when to stand up. We can try it, Boba finally said, and some of the nerves writhing in Din's belly settled. We can... I don't know, Jerrica. I usually like things defined. Neat. But you're not wrong. It's been good. So we can throw out the rule about keeping things separate? We can try it, Boba repeated. He kept scratching Din's scalp lightly. Which brings us to rule 3, respect. Din snorted. He couldn't help it. He thought that he knew what Boba was going to say already. Boba reprimanded him by tugging sharply on a few of Din's curls, sending bright bursts of pain skittering down the back of Din's neck. Don't start, Boba warned. You know what I'm gonna say, yeah? I can guess, Din muttered. Boba grinned at him, toothily. He pulled harder on Din's hair, dragging Din's head off his leg even as Din resisted. The strain was... It wasn't good, wasn't an easy pain. Boba was strong. Din was strong, too, but like this, on his knees, he couldn't brace himself against anything else, couldn't leverage his body effectively to push back against Boba's grip. The resulting strain burned in his neck and the tops of his shoulders. Tears pricked at the corners of Din's eyes. I would like, said Boba mildly, once Din had given in and let Boba do what he wanted, to keep that rule, if it's all the same to you, Jerrica. Boba had always said that nickname, Little Jaren, with affection, fondness. But Even in this mild tone, there was a mocking lilt to it now, a harder edge. It made Din's belly clench. He couldn't tell if it was with shame or arousal or both. "I could insist on it," Boba continued, still mild. His tone was at odds with his merciless grip. "We could pretend that it was something you could fight me on, that it was something you need to be made to accept. Is that something you need?" "No," Din finally gasped, his eyes watering. "No, I can do it." No matter how much the thought of Boba making him, of Boba using that Wishhawk silk, of tying Din down and... "Orijate," said Boba, and relented, loosening his grip before Din's thoughts could spin even further out of his control. "Respect, then." He petted Din's head to soothe away some of the hurt. Din blinked furiously to clear his eyes. Dread had coiled in his stomach. "Our fourth rule," Boba continued. "Like a Mandalorian, like a warrior pushing through something that hurt rather than shy away. Was honesty." "I told you already," Din mumbled, his skin hot all over. I didn't mean to lie to you." "You didn't lie to me, Din," said Boba quietly. "I did," Din said. You never asked me if I was Mandalorian or not, but there were chances I could have taken to tell you that I wasn't."
"If we start counting lies of omission, Jarika, we're gonna be here a while," Boba said. "We always knew that there were things we wouldn't be able to tell each other, didn't we?"
Din nodded. They'd talked about that already, that Din and Boba both had other things they were beholden to, other people, other promises.
"So we can treat this rule like that," said Boba quietly.
It blew up in our faces a little, he admitted.
Din huffed. That was putting it mildly. Din had jumped out of Boba's window over it.
Boba had pulled away so suddenly and so sharply on the Huntress that Din had worried he'd lost Boba forever.
"But you didn't mean it to," Boba continued. "And neither did I. It was..."
"Sometimes things go kark sideways. Nothing's gonna change that. No rules or agreements or promises."
"I still want you to be honest with me," Boba stressed, meeting Din's eyes. "I want you to tell me when you're uncomfortable."
Din smiled a little, remembering the opening Boba had left him during their first negotiation.
"And I want you to tell me something you think is relevant to what we're doing, but..."
Boba broke off with a sigh. "But," Din finished for him, quietly, "total honesty's not possible, not with the kind of people we are."
"No," Boba agreed, just as quietly. "It's not."
Din still felt guilty. Being Darmanda, that had been relevant. Boba would have liked to know. And Din had had the opportunity to tell him. He just hadn't been able to make himself say the words, had kept finding excuses, reasons to put it off. Din swallowed. "What if," he started, choosing his words carefully, "we agreed to not total honesty, since it isn't possible, but maybe," Din continued, trying to sort out his thoughts, "maybe I could, if I run into something that I can't be honest about, for whatever reason, I could tell you."
Boba's forehead creased a little.
"Explain," he said. Din took a breath. Like if you asked something about the tribe I grew up in," Din said. "I could tell you that I couldn't be honest, and you'd..."
"Drop the conversation," Boba said, realizing what Din was getting at.
Din nodded, relieved. "You'd trust me to only refuse to answer a question or to refuse to be honest if I really needed to," Din said. "And I'd trust you to drop it."
It was a bit convoluted, nothing at all like the clean, easy agreement they'd made before. But if Boba agreed to it, Din could
tell Boba when Boba had pressed too close to something Din couldn't give up. And Bobo was nodding slowly.
Okay, he said, choosing his words with as much care as Din had. Okay, that's workable, he finally said. Not perfect, but this is Tatooine. Perfect doesn't last long here.
No, Din said, relief loosening his tongue, his mouth. He sagged into Boba's thigh again.
No, it's not perfect. But it should work, Boba murmured. You trust me that much? He asked. You trust me to stop pushing at something if you tell me to?
Din nodded.
Why? Boba asked. He didn't sound desperate or confused or angry, just curious. Din thought about it for a moment.
You stopped when I said Gev, Din said. 2 weeks ago when we got back from Arcanus.
The furrow in Boba's brow deepened.
I did, said Boba, like he had never considered doing anything else.
Maybe he hadn't.
Boba kept his word, after all. He'd promised to stop if Din had ever said Gev, and he had.
It was just good, that was all. It was good that Boba'd confirmed that he would stop. It meant that Din could trust him to keep to the boundaries of whatever they agreed.
All right, Boba said.
All right, we can modify the rule. Not asking for honesty, but for more honest boundaries.
I'm probably not going to be able to recite that back to you if you ask, Din warned.
Boba laughed. His expression softened.
No, he agreed. Neither will I. But still, we agree to it now, yeah?
Yes, Din said, nodding.
Boba rewarded him with another sharp tug to his hair. The flickers of pain made Din shiver all over.
So that just leaves your rule, Boba said. You asked me for secrecy. Do you still want that?
I think I do, Din said, coloring slightly. Most everyone already seems to know that I'm with you, that I'm in your service, but this
is something a little more private, Boba finished, understanding.
He tilted his head a little.
You said that Valeria knew, that you were one of mine. The casual possession in Boba's voice made Din shiver again, in a different way. He couldn't tell if he liked it or not. The thought of being Boba's. That's a lie, Din thought to himself. He liked the thought of being Boba's very much. He was already Boba's Talvod, whether or not Boba knew it. It was the depth of that desire that surprised Din, that he didn't want to look at too closely.
I want to be Boba's. His friend, his whatever he'll let me be, Din thought. But what does that mean?
She knew that I worked for you, Din said. Valerian's words echoed in his head.
Favorite Masif.
She said that I was your left hand.
Making Fennec my right?
Din shrugged a little. He assumed, anyway.
Boba made a thoughtful, considering noise.
I have no problem keeping this, and he gestured around the room, Wishuk silk still trailing in his hand. Just between us, Jerrica. My preferences don't need to become Jerrica Vikat either. But does it bother you that others know about your loyalties?
Din shook his head.
Boba studied him. Not even when someone like Valerian calls you my dog. Din blushed then, and cursed himself for blushing.
Boba grinned.
You don't seem to mind it, Boba observed. When people call you my dog, do you?
Din blushed harder, all the way down to his belly. He hadn't... Any time someone had called Din Boba's dog, his Masif, his neck, or his favorite hound, Din had ignored it. The few times Boba had patted his head or his cheek like a Masif puppy, had scruffed Din like an errant cub, Din had let him. He'd been called worse things than Boba's favorite Masif.
You really don't mind, Boba repeated, more to himself than Din. Din didn't say anything. Couldn't say anything, not without opening his mouth. Boba sees it anyway, Din thought, watching Boba's expression. He can see, he can tell, he knows that I don't mind. It was... Din had even liked it. He hadn't snapped at Fennec or Valerian. He hadn't objected when others, Cobb Vanth, Nora, Paz, had pointed out Din's penchant for sticking close to Boba's side, for doing what Boba asked of him.
Vorgar Vebur, said Boba.
Din blinked up at him. He'd lost Din entirely. His grasp of Mandalorian was still fragmented, mostly just a handful of words or phrases. He'd been learning a little, but not enough to follow along when Boba said a whole sentence like this, when he didn't give Din any context.
I shouldn't even know that much, said a voice in the back of Din's head that sounded like Strill and Paz and the Alord, but Din pushed it away. There was no room for them, for any of them, up here. Whatever Boba had said, he'd said it with an affection that Din could feel, a warmth that sunk into his bones like the heat off the suns of Tatooine. Din couldn't help but go a little boneless at it, swaying towards Boba again.
Vorgar Vebur, Boba repeated.
He didn't translate it for Din this time. Din didn't care. The words washed over him. Boba settled his hand against the back of Din's head again. He petted absently at the stray curls there, the touch light and warm. He didn't say anything else for a long time. Din didn't mind. It wasn't as good as a flogging, as clean or clear or bright. It wasn't still or silent, wasn't floating or falling or flying. Din was still aware of his body. He was still aware of Boba, too. He wasn't even in that much pain. But this, whatever this was good, tolerable at least. Din wanted more, Boba's fingers in his hair, the edge of a flogger, even the pain of the clamps. But it wasn't a pressing need or even a sharp want. He was all right with this, too. Din pressed his face into Boba's thigh again, higher this time, his nose almost at Boba's hip.
There's a place for you here, Boba finally said, breaking the quiet between them. None of this has been me trying to get rid of you, Jerrica.
Good, Din said, muffled against Boba's hip. Boba chuckled. There's a place for you here, he repeated. At my side. At my feet, too, if you want it.
Obviously I want it, Din thought. If Boba couldn't tell.
Boba patted the back of his neck apologetically, cutting Din off before he could work himself up to being outraged about it.
I'm not sure how this works, Shari, Boba continued. I've done this for friends before, but usually I don't have this much trouble keeping things separate.
Business is business. A flogging is a flogging.
We've crossed our circuits, Din.
We have, Din admitted a little reluctantly. He peeled his face away from Boba's hip. There was no point in arguing. Boba was right. The rules of their original arrangement were in the Grey Hold. They'd been in the Grey Hold for weeks. But we've already talked about modifying the rule about separation.
We did, Boba said. I think it'll work, too. There's bleed over, but...
You still want me to be able to tell you to cark off in the throne room? Din suggested, a smile tugging at his mouth. It was nice to see that Boba was this concerned. To see that he was taking this seriously, that it mattered to him to get this right as much as it mattered to Din.
Boba snorted. Maybe not in as many words, he said. But yeah. In here, I want control. Out there, Boba shook his head. I don't want to have to worry about you worrying about disobeying me, he said. In a fight, that kind of thinking can get a man killed.
I have fought a time or two before, Din pointed out, dry.
That earned him a flick against the back of the neck.
The rule about your manners, Boba said mildly, still stands. We did agree.
Din subsided.
We did agree, he said.
Din hesitated, then pushed on.
Do we agree to these rules, then?
Din was all right to keep trying new things, to accept the boundaries Bubba set for them, to respect and to as much honesty as he could. Bubba studied him. "Yes," Bubba finally said, voice deeper than it had been a moment ago. "Yes, we're agreed." Din relaxed, his tension drained away. "Good," he said. "That's good. So, what's next?" Bubba chuckled. "What's next? You sure you're up for something, Jerrica? You don't want to rest?" Once, when they'd been setting up for a spar after Din had come back from Osentha, Din had promised Bubba that he wouldn't bite him. Biting was dishonorable during a spar. But this, Din thought to himself, isn't a spar. He didn't bite Bubba very hard. Just a press of teeth, more a warning than anything else, against the broad swell of muscle in Bubba's upper thigh. The taste and texture of fabric filled Din's mouth. Above him, Bubba swore. The hand in Din's hair tightened. Din briefly considered hanging on, digging in until Bubba made him stop. But his point, Din thought, had been made. He let go and glared up at Bubba, who was scowling down at him even though his eyes had darkened with desire. "Point made, Jerrica," Bubba grunted. His hand was so tight in Din's hair that the sparks of pain had shifted into a dull, all-over burn. Din's eyes stung with it. "You're up for it, then." He didn't define what it was, but he didn't need to. "I can handle this," Din thought. "I have another rule," Din said. He and Bubba had already talked about it before, sort of, but they hadn't made it a formal condition of their arrangement. Boba's hand loosened a little, a tiny frown forming between his eyes. "Don't treat me like I'm fragile," Din said before he could lose his nerve. "I trust that I know what I'm asking for, even if I don't know the specifics. I'm fine. I can take a little rough treatment, even like this." Bubba studied Din for a long minute. Then, to Din's faint surprise, he nodded. "Come on then," Bubba said, patting the nape of Din's neck again. "Up you get." "Where am I going?" Din asked, still wary, though he did as he was told and climbed stiffly to his feet. He didn't want to give Bubba enough time to change his mind. He pressed a hand to the bacta patch glued to his side briefly to make sure that Din himself wasn't the liar here. He was faintly sore still, but that was the worst that could be said for it. T6 was good at his job. "Bed," said Bubba promptly, without any flourish. Din still blushed anyway, even as his pulse picked up, anticipation beginning to coil low in his belly. "Oh," he said. Bubba grinned at him. "Take off the rest of your clothes," Bubba told him. "I'll be there in a minute." Din nodded. He was more or less used to being naked around Bubba now, though there was still that thrill of fear every time he stripped off the last of his layers of protection. A pair of cloth pants and a set of underwear wasn't much protection, but still, it was all Din had. He stepped out of his pants and folded them neatly, setting them beside a stack of armor before hooking his thumbs into the band of his underwear and shuffling out of those, too. Chill bumps broke out down his legs, his back, immediately. Din stared out over the desert for a moment to steady himself, pulse still hammering, then sat down on the edge of the bed and waited for Bubba. Bubba didn't make him wait long. He came around the corner, still wearing his pants, and reached under the bed again. For half a heartbeat, Din thought that Bubba would pull out a flogger, or even the little bag of clamps again, but all Bubba pulled out was more Wishok silk. Anticipation sharpened. Bubba caught Din's gaze and smiled again, slyly, like he had a secret he was about to let Din in on. "Lie down, Jerrica," Bubba said. Din obeyed. He shifted back so that his whole body was on the bed and lay down, shifting over when Bubba followed on his knees, looming over Din, encouraging him into the center of the bed. Din blinked up at Bubba. "Was this the idea you had?" he asked, when you brought out the silk? "Something like it," Bubba agreed. He eyed the back to patch stamped across Din's ribs. I've modified my ideas a bit," he said, "so I don't reopen that or strain anything that medroid of creases might skewer me over. But yeah, this is more or less the idea I had." A wave of want crashed over Danil at once, caught in his chest, thundered in his blood. Boba saw it and answered with a want of his own. His pupils had dilated. Boba sorted through his tangle of Wishok silk and drew out one long, thick strip, maybe 2 feet long, about 2 inches thick. The silk was wide and fluttered in the breeze that stirred Boba's gauzy curtains that whispered against Din's hair. Boba was pressed so close to Din that Din could feel the heat of him even through the fabric of Boba's pants. "Give me your wrist," Boba said. Din blinked. "He wants to..." "Oh," he realized, then felt a little ridiculous for taking this long to put the pieces together. "He's gonna tie me up." That was what the Wishok silk was for. Din had known that. He'd thought about it, about how it would feel. But when he tried to lift his arm to put his wrist in Boba's outstretched hand, he faltered. Din's heart kicked. Boba's expression shifted, hardened. "I'm not gonna wrestle you," Boba said flatly. "Give it here." Din scowled. He wanted to do what he was told, but something in him resisted, held back. "You have before," he said. Boba hadn't ever had a problem tackling him to the ground, making Din surrender. Boba rubbed a thumb over the edge of the Bacta-seal glued to Din's side. "Before," Boba said patiently, like he was talking to a particularly slow Masif. "You hadn't been recently impaled." "I was cleared," Din growled. "Not gonna argue with you about it either, Dinika." Din scowled harder. Boba just looked at him, unimpressed. "That's how it's gonna be tonight," he said. "If you don't want to go along with it, that's fine. We can just go to sleep. But if you want something else, you're gonna have to do it my way." Din wanted to resist. He wanted to dig his heels in. Din could take it. He could. He'd fought harder, with worse injuries, before. He wasn't hurt that badly. Boba loomed above him, implacable. The strips of Wishok silk hung in his hands, their edges fluttering a little in the breeze. "I thought you liked taking control," Din finally muttered, forcing himself to relax. It was hard, pushing his urge to fight, to struggle, out of his shoulders, down his arms, through his fingers. He tangled his fingers in Boba's sheets and held on hard enough that his wrists ached. When he released his grip, the ache lingered. It was good, a release. Not as much of one as Din wanted, but all I'm gonna get, I think, Din thought to himself. So he did it again a few more times, curling his hands into fists, gripping Boba's sheets as tightly as he could, then letting go. The rhythm of it settled some of his awful plucking tension. Boba caught on to what Din was doing and let him do it without comment. He held very still above Din. "I do like taking control," Boba said, when Din had managed to calm himself down some and didn't resist when Boba finally leaned down again and closed one hand over Din's wrist. He pressed his fingers to the point of Din's pulse. "You want to spar again in a few weeks? Winner takes all? I'll do that," said Boba. His voice dripped with a confidence that made Din, despite his soreness, want to fight anyway. "He thinks he'll win again," Din thought. "But this isn't just about force, Jerrica," Boba continued. He eyed Din, then seemed to come to a decision. Boba dropped his handful of silk onto Din's chest. The ends tickled Din's mouth as they fell, his chin, the column of his throat, his collarbone, one of his nipples. "This isn't about me making you give in," Boba said. His voice was as soft as the silk, even as his grip on Din's wrist tightened. Din felt the little bones in his wrist protesting. He shivered again. The urge to fight was back, was strong behind his teeth, kicking against his ribs. "What's it about, then?" Din challenged. Boba looked down at him knowingly. "I want control," he said, "and I want you to give it to me. Understand?" "No," said Din, honestly. They'd agreed to that, after all. Boba hummed again, not quite a chuckle, but a lighter sound than before. "Thank you for your honesty," he said, his thumb tracing the outer edge of Din's pulse point, the curling edge of one of Din's faded tattoos. "You want me to explain?" Din lifted a shoulder wordlessly. It was awkward to do that lying down, with most of Boba's weight on top of him, but he did it anyway. Boba took that as a yes. He kept thumbing the edge of Din's tattoo and said, "It's all right that you want it to be a fight most of the time. You are. Were," he corrected himself before Din could open his mouth to do it for him. "Mandalorian. A fighter your whole life, yeah?" "Yeah," Din muttered. "For most of his life that mattered, anyway." Din was so far removed from that kid who'd played "We're On His Coming" by the riverbank with his cousins, he might as well have been a different species. As distant from that memory as Tatooine was from Coruscant. "You don't give up easy," Bubba said. He smiled down at Din. "I can respect that, but maybe I don't want to fight you every time." "Why not?" Din asked, trying not to sound plaintive. He bit his tongue to stop himself from saying something Bubba might not like. "You're Mandalorian, too. You fought your whole life, too." "An old man now," said Bubba, tone wry. Din snorted. Bubba didn't move like any old man Din had ever met. Bubba's eyes turned up a little, conceding the point. "Maybe I like the idea of you choosing not to fight," Bubba suggested. His eyes were glittering bright as stars. "You ever give up with anyone else?" Din bared his teeth a little at the suggestion. He certainly hadn't. Din had never thrown a fight, ever. He'd considered it a few times. With Bubba himself, even, back when Din had thought that Bubba was more like Jabba than not. But he'd never actually had to do it. He'd lost fights before, dozens when he'd been a kid, a few even as an adult. Din had had his shebs kicked. But he'd never laid down for a beating before. Stood up for one, yes, in this room. But even then, Din had been standing on his own 2 feet. He'd had his hands free. The option to bolt or to clear some space, to twist around, to push back if Bubba went too far, had been there. If Din let Bubba do this... "Or maybe," said Bubba softly, looking down at Din with something dark yawning in his eyes. Not a star, but like the absence of one, a powerful, vast darkness that caught and held the eye like gravity. "I'm just greedy." Din swallowed. "He wants me to let him do this," Din thought, dizzy. "Because I've never let anyone do this before. He'd be the first one. The only one." "Ah," said Bubba, catching the understanding that must have flashed across Din's face, along with no small amount of fear. "You do get it." Din swallowed again and said, hoarsely, "I do." Bubba rubbed his thumb over Din's wrist again, then tightened his grip. "So what's it gonna be?" said Bubba. "You gonna give it up, Jerrica?" The way Bubba said that was filthy, hungry. It made Din's head spin. His hips shifted, seeking friction. Bubba let him wriggle around for a few seconds, just holding Din's wrist while Din shifted, bumping their hips together, their ankles, their cocks. Din was relieved to find that Bubba was still hard, even if Din himself had softened some. Bubba still wanted this very much. He didn't ask Din again, though. His eyes were that deep, yawning dark, his pupils dilated, his expression intent. But he didn't ask again. He let Din make his decision on his own. Finally, Din made himself go still, limp. He made himself look Bubba in the eye. "All right," Din said. The word got stuck behind his teeth, so he said it again. "All right, Bubba." Bubba rumbled, a faint, fawn smirk tugging up one corner of his scarred mouth. "You can do better than that," he cajoled. "All right, Bubba, what?" Din reached for the word he wanted to say in Mondoa and couldn't find it, so he reached for Tuskra instead. "Yesta," Din said. The reward was immediate and overwhelming. As soon as Din said it, "I surrender," Bubba surged down and caught Din's mouth in a fierce kiss. His weight anchored Din to the bed, and his kisses stole the air out of Din's lungs, the buzzing fear from the edges of his thoughts. There was no more room to be afraid, to be stubborn. Bubba took it all, coaxing Din's mouth open and running his tongue over Din's teeth, then pushing deeper. Din let him, melting into it. His body knew Bubba's, after all. knew that he was safe, despite what he just agreed to. Boba kissed Din breathless, kissed him bruised, then pulled away, and while Din was staring blindly up at the ceiling, trying to catch his breath, plucked one of the strips of Wishak silk off Din's chest and looped it around Din's wrist. Din couldn't help but tense again at that. It was too late to do anything about it. Boba was efficient and had evidently done this sort of thing before, because within a matter of seconds he had the silk tied in a tight, elegant knot around Din's wrist. A length of silk trailed from the knot, bright as moonlight even against the pale underside of Din's wrist, which never saw the sun. Boba let Din stare at the tie for a moment, eyes wide, and then he drew Din's wrist towards the edge of the bed. Din resisted instinctively, hissing as he tried to pull his arm back towards himself, the strain of it pulling it aside. But Boba wasn't interested in tolerating any further defiance. "No," said Boba firmly, his tone as sharp as a knife. And Din went limp on instinct. Boba used Din's few seconds of shocked submission to bring Din's wrist to the top right corner of the bed, Boba shifting to lean over the edge and do something with the trailing ends of the Wishak silk. That didn't take very long either. Boba was back looming over Din in what felt like only a few heartbeats, his smile hooking sharp anticipation underneath Din's ribs. Boba caught Din's left wrist before he could pull it away. Din tried anyway, a fruitless tug that only succeeded in locking Boba's fingers around his wrist. Boba's gaze was challenging. "You already gave in," Boba reminded Din, tone dark. "I told you, Jarka, I'm not going to fight with you. You want to stop? We'll stop." Din shook his head, eyes wide, then unglued his tongue from the roof of his mouth. "No," he said, forcing the word out. No, I don't want to stop." "Then give me your wrist," Boba said. He sounded less patient now. Din flinched a little, embarrassed, and let Boba have his free hand without any further struggle. This time, Boba let Din watch as he wound another loop of Wishak silk into a neat, snug knot. Boba let Din stare at it for a minute, at the contrast of the silk against his skin, and then he did the same thing with Din's left arm as he'd done with his right, drawing it towards the edge of the bed, then tying the ends of the silk off underneath. Din's heart began to beat faster. Boba had laid more than just two strips of silk against Din's chest. Boba caught Din's trepidation. His smile widened, showing a flicker of tooth. "Deep breaths," Boba advised. He picked up another length of silk and shifted again, inching backwards on the bed until he was level with Din's feet. He put a hand on Din's right ankle and raised an eyebrow, challenging. Din did want to fight. He wanted to kick Boba away. His heart was hammering already, sweat beaded in the hollow of his throat. He could feel a faint strain in his shoulders. His wrists were tied tightly enough that Din knew he wouldn't be able to move them. That had seemed exciting when Boba had brought the first length of silk out to put in Din's hands. Had seemed liberating. But now, confronting the reality of it, the reality of being well and truly caught, trapped, at Boba's mercy, Din was only afraid. But he didn't lash out and kick Boba away. He thought about it, tensing on instinct, but this was another test. Boba was paying attention. "I'm not going to... I can do this," Din told himself, as Boba, his eyes glittering, wound the Wishak silk carefully around Din's ankle and began to form another knot. Din could feel how strong this one was almost immediately. The ties around his wrist were strong, but this was tighter almost, as if Boba had already decided to compensate for how much stronger Din's legs were than his arms, than the wrist he'd broken half a dozen times across his life. "I won't be able to get out of it," Din thought, his vision blurring around the edges. Boba tied Din's right ankle off underneath the bed, probably using the bed frame to anchor each tie, then took Din's left ankle without any further flourish and did the same. When Boba was done, he tested his work a little, tugging on the silk where it was anchored to the bed. Din shivered as he felt that tension build, felt the silk tied around his ankle. There was a little bit of slack, just enough for Din to be able to shift his hips, but that was all. He was grateful for it just the same. He couldn't imagine being fully immobile, being tied down so tightly that he couldn't move at all. "You're all right," Boba soothed, shuffling forward on his knees so that he was between Din's spread legs, bending to run his hands gently down Din's flanks. He leaned in for another kiss, and Din let him. This kiss was gentle, almost adoring. It had none of the teeth of Boba's earlier kiss, none of the urgency. "You're all right," Boba repeated, the words close and dear against Din's mouth. "Orijate, garjatish." As it always did, the lilt of Mandoa, the way Boba's words rose and fell like a breath, settled Din. Boba smiled against the curve of Din's jaw. "Orijate," he repeated, because by now he knew that Din liked it, the praise. That it made Din melt even further back into the mattress, the urge to fight against the silk ties fading. Boba let him calm down, pressing nonsense patterns into Din's ribs with his fingertips, careful to skirt the swath of Bacta and some of Din's nastier bruises. "Good?" Boba asked, his voice rough. Din curled his fingers against his palms and fought the urge to pull his wrists. "Good," he affirmed. His own voice was just as rough as Boba's. Din felt Boba smile into the curve of Din's neck. "Good," said Boba, "'cause you've got one more." Din's heart jumped again. "One more?" Boba pulled away and stared down at Din with very dark eyes. "Yeah," he said, pulling one last long strip of Wishok silk from Din's chest, this one wider than the others. "One more." Din licked his lips and tried not to be afraid. There was nothing he could do about it anyway. He was already tied hand and foot. He could already barely move. "Where?" Din said, hating that he stumbled over the word anyway, his tongue betraying him. Boba smiled with his eyes. "Here," said Boba, and leaned in. For a moment, Din thought that Boba would tie the silk around his throat, and he couldn't stop the sound he made, high and thin. This time it was a sound of desire. Din's fear burned up so fast it left him reeling. He wanted. But he didn't have time to parse what he wanted, because Boba didn't move to tie the last strip of silk around Din's throat. Instead, he laid the silk over Din's eyes, hushing Din when he made another high, thin sound, and tied it off behind Din's head. The trailing edges of the silk brushed against Din's shoulders. He blinked rapidly, confused. The Wishok silk was white, but it was opaque. It wasn't a total blindfold. Din could see the vague shape of Boba above him, the faint brightness that came from a night over the desert, but that was all he could see. Din blew a breath out through his nose. The blindfold wasn't as frightening as the ties, strangely enough. It wasn't tight or restrictive, not really, and it wasn't so thick that Din couldn't see through it at all. Boba had asked Din to close his eyes before. Din did that now. The texture of the silk across the bridge of his nose, around the tips of his ears, strange and foreign. His eyelashes brushed against the silk. Just like before, when Din had closed his eyes at Boba's order, his other senses seemed to expand to compensate. His hearing picked up, the faint, ever-present drone from one too many blows to the head fading, to let Din pick up on the sound of Boba's knees shifting the bedsheets, of the desert breeze stirring a few loose pieces of flimsy on Boba's work table, of Din's own heartbeat, loud and fast. His sense of touch heightened, too. Din had already been aware of the texture of the silk tied around his wrists and his ankles, the strength of it, the slight, almost unnoticeable catch in the fabric. But now he could feel that catch prickling against him, the tension wound all through it. He could feel every place that his body touched Boba's, the difference between Din's bare skin and Boba's pants, the nonsense patterns Boba had traced over and over into his ribs until the skin there was left warm and tingling. Boba's solid weight and the warmth of his still hard cock as it pressed into Din's hip. Even Din's sense of smell sharpened. He could smell sweat, smell his own unease, the clean scent of Boba's sheets, the ever-present hint of incense and wood. Boba himself, and under that, the unmistakable scent of arousal. Din shivered all over, his breath caught. Boba chuckled. "Orijate," he repeated, pressing a chaste, sweet kiss to the corner of Din's jaw.
Just relax, Jerrica. You're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. That sounded like a threat. Din shivered again, and Boba let him, pressing another sweet kiss to Din's jaw, and then beginning to trail his way down, running his tongue over the faintly sore marks the Deveronian had left on Din's throat, nipping the edge of Din's collarbone, licking and kissing his way down Din's chest. Din couldn't do anything about it. All he could do was tense and relax, the muscles in his chest contracting, his stomach flexing, as Boba worked his way down and down and inexorably down. Din opened his eyes again. He had enough leverage to crane his neck up to see the vague shape of Boba's head as Boba pressed a warmer, open-mouth kiss to Din's navel, which made Din's toes curl uselessly. But he couldn't see any detail, and the position strained his shoulders, so he flopped his head back down with a frustrated groan. Boba laughed against Din's hip bone. The vibrations made Din's whole body clench, jerking against the ties instinctively, but they showed their strength at once and didn't let Din move more than a few millimeters. "Udesi," Boba soothed, his tone bright and sharp. Din scowled up at the ceiling. "I'm fine," he said, trying to wrestle back control of his body. "I'm fine. It's just... new. Out of my hands." The only way Din could stop Boba now was by saying Gev. He couldn't fight Boba off, he couldn't run away. And Boba liked it. Din could feel the evidence of just how much he liked it pressed against his hip. Din's own dick twitched a little helplessly as Boba skimmed a hand over the trail of kisses he'd left from the bottom of Din's ribs to the top of his hip. Boba made a deep, considering noise. It vibrated against Din's skin like struck Beskar. Din made his own cut-off sound, small and shocked. "Ever had someone's mouth here?" Boba murmured, pressing a light kiss to the edge of Din's hip. Din shivered. "No," he said, blinking against the blindfold. Boba hummed, a sound Din felt in the soft skin of his inner thigh, and drifted closer in. The texture of Boba's skin was soft and mostly smooth. Din could feel the difference between whole skin and scar, could feel the faint prickle of stubble, the ridge of Boba's nose, his cheekbone, the wet warmth of his lips as he followed the cut of Din's hip bone to the top of Din's thigh. "Here?" Boba asked, pressing another kiss there. Din shook his head, his own mouth drying out. He didn't need to see to know where Boba was going. Boba seemed to understand that Din could barely speak because he didn't ask Din any more questions as he trailed light, teasing kisses down the inner edge of Din's thigh. When the last kiss turned into a bite, a hard nip to the meat of Din's inner thigh, Din had to catch his answering shout by slamming his mouth shut, transforming the cry into a high hiss that made Boba chuckle and lave his tongue over the sting to soothe it. "Now we're even," Boba told him. His breath stirred the curls of hair just above Din's cock. Din was so hard that he felt like he'd burst as soon as Boba touched him. The anticipation was almost unbearable. "Are we keeping score?" Din asked through gritted teeth, pushing air through his nose. "I can take this," he thought. This was... compared to a flogging, this was nothing. Din could handle it. He could handle it. Boba chuckled and pressed another kiss to the sore place he'd bitten. "We can keep score if you like," he suggested. His voice had taken on that dark, rich quality it had when Boba was certain that he'd won something. "Not sure how you're going to pull ahead if you're trussed up like this, though." "You..." Din started, trying to glare at Boba even through the blindfold, but didn't get the chance to bite back with a scathing retort, because Boba finally... finally put his mouth on Din's cock. Boba pressed an easy, open-mouth kiss to the underside of Din's dick. Din did shout then, a sharp cry of surprise, his feet jerking where they were tied to the bed. Boba laughed, the sound of vibration against Din's cock that made Din shout again, trying fruitlessly to twist. Then pressed another wet, open-mouth kiss to one of Din's testicles. He kept working his way down, even as Din's thighs tensed unbearably, even as Din's hips twitched and he tried to kick again. The Wishuk silk held. Din couldn't even get it to give an inch, a millimeter. He couldn't stop Boba from nosing underneath Din's balls and pressing a warm kiss to the sensitive skin just behind them. couldn't stop Boba from pausing just above Din's asshole and kissing Din there, too. Din gritted his teeth so hard he felt his jaw creak. He curled his fingers into useless fists. His breath came in short gusts and his eyes moved blindly behind the blindfold. Boba was... he was... Din had never had anyone do that before. Anything like that. The closest he'd ever gotten to whatever Boba was doing had been here, in this bed, with Boba himself. Had been Boba's slick fingers pressing into him, followed by Boba's cock. But this was something else. When Boba had fucked him, Din had at least been familiar with the mechanics of sex. With what went where, and how it felt. But this... Boba ran his tongue lightly against the rim of Din's asshole. Din's whole body tensed. Boba hummed again, the vibration sending wild signals crashing through Din's body. He didn't know whether to pull away or press in, and Gev was pressed up against the tip of his tongue, and finally, pulled away. Din went limp with relief. "Relax, Jerica," Boba rumbled, his voice heavy with amusement. "Gonna guess that's not something you're familiar with, either." "No," Din said, his voice pitched and uneven. He flopped his head back and stared, sightless, up at where the ceiling should be. A faint tremor passed through him. Do people... eat each other out?" Boba finished for him, giving Din the words. Din felt Boba shrug against him. "I don't know about all people," he continued, "but I do." Din's flush spread down his chest, down his belly. "Why?" Boba prompted, leaning in again so his cheek brushed against the trembling skin of Din's thigh. "Curious?" "No," Din said, though he was undercut by the way his voice wavered. It wasn't that he was curious, it was just... "Udesi," Boba rumbled, taking pity on Din. His voice lost its teasing lilt. "Take it easy, it's all right." Din tossed his head a little, confused. He wanted to keep trying to wrench himself free, but he knew there was no point in trying. He was already going to have bruises around his wrists, his ankles. "Boba promised me." "Udesi," Boba repeated, his breath ghosting over Din's hip. "You'll like this part, Jerica, I promise." "What?" Din started, stilling a little, lifting his head to try and hear what Boba would do next. To try and see, even though Din knew he wouldn't be able to. But he didn't get the chance to ask further, because once again Boba decided to shut Din up by putting his mouth on Din's cock. This time it wasn't just an open-mouth kiss. Boba took the head of Din's cock in his mouth, his tongue flickering around the head, and then before Din could even finish choking on a shout, Boba pushed in, taking half of Din's cock while one hand caught Din by the hip to keep him from bucking like a startled Ronto, and the other worked its way between Din's legs. Boba's mouth was warm and wet everywhere. Din stared up at the fabric of his blindfold, panting harshly. His heart thundered out of control. Boba ran his tongue over the underside of Din's cock, and any words Din had in his head scattered. His thoughts flew apart, his hips twitched, his legs straining as they tried to kick, either to push Boba away or draw him closer, Din wasn't sure. And Boba used one broad hand to steady them, his thumb digging in just underneath the rise of Din's hip bone. Boba pulled away, Din's cock leaving his mouth with a faint pop. Din flushed, even though he couldn't see it. He could imagine it well enough, despite his inexperience, Boba's mouth red and shining, his eyes black with hunger. Din's dick pressed against his belly, red and flushed and glistening with spit. "Settle down, Jerica," Boba rumbled. His voice had taken on that teasing lilt again, and he stroked his thumb over Din's hip. "You're gonna hurt yourself if you keep fighting the ties." Din bared his teeth at where he guessed Boba was. "You don't want me to fight the ties," Din said, half a growl. But I... His fingers kept curling uselessly into fists. The wishuck silk dug into the base of both of Din's thumbs. There was nothing to hold on to, not really, nothing except the silk itself, and Din's hands kept closing on empty air. He didn't want empty air. He wanted Boba.
He wanted to dig his fingers into the meat of Boba's shoulders to hang on for dear life.
"But I what?" Boba asked, almost sweetly.
Din suppressed another growl.
"I don't know what you're doing," Din said. "I can't see you. I can't..."
"That's the point," Boba said, dryly. He patted Din's flank again, his thumb tracing circles over Din's hip.
"You can't see. You can't fight it. You can't even move. All you can do is let it happen. So, let it happen."
Let it happen, Din thought. That was easy for Boba to say. Boba wasn't tied like this. Boba wasn't blind. Boba...
"Or keep fighting it if you feel like you have to," Boba continued.
He had moved closer again. His breath was warm over Din's cock, the sensation strange and immediate now that Din's cock was wet, and to his mortification, Din felt a bead of fluid gather at the tip of his cock. He was still hard. He still wanted this, even if Din didn't understand what was happening.
"It's all right," Boba continued, in his low, sweet, soothing tone. "Keep fighting me if you have to. It's still gonna happen."
"What's gonna happen?" Din asked, the words escaping before he could stop them. He felt Boba smile against the crease of his thigh.
"I'm gonna make you come," Boba said, "and I'm gonna make it hurt. And then you're gonna thank me for it."
Din swallowed. "Take a second," Boba advised. "Breathe. This is the last break I'm gonna give you, okay? Unless you use your word." Din believed him. He gulped in air, fingers curling again, and tried to relax. Boba gave Din just a second before he was on Din again, before he was everywhere, before he slid the head of Din's cock back into his mouth again, tonguing the slit to chase the pre-cum that had beaded there, moaning in satisfaction at the taste. Din shouted again, toes curling, at the way that felt, having Boba moan around Din's cock. It was like being shot, almost, a resonance Din felt all the way to his bones. He couldn't help but twist in his restraints again, grateful now that he could barely shift in them. Boba's hands were hot as forge fire as they pressed Din's hips into the bed. Boba took Din deeper, his tongue pressing against a vein along the underside of Din's cock, his mouth just as forge hot. They found a strange rhythm like that. Boba pressing down, then pulling back up, moving up and down on Din's cock. He seemed to know just when to lick or suck, just how to wring the most embarrassing noises out of Din, and in what felt like no time at all, Din could feel the edge of something building in the base of his spine. Boba hummed around Din's cock. Din couldn't see his face, wasn't even trying to look at him anymore, not really. But he could tell that Boba was amused. Din felt his orgasm approaching, his whole body tensing as Boba swallowed around him, Din's cock hitting the back of Boba's throat, and Din shouted again, toes curling. And then Boba wrapped one hand around the base of Din's cock, tight as a vise, and pulled off. Din's orgasm derailed abruptly. Din cried out and tried to wrench his hips, to make Boba move, to do something. But between the wishhawk silk and Boba's other hand, still curled tight over Din's hip, Din couldn't move at all. Boba chuckled. The sound of it was rough, fucked out. When he spoke, his voice rasped.
"Odessi," Boba repeated, a wicked edge to his ruined voice.
Din bared his teeth uselessly, frustration mounting. The tight ring of Boba's fingers around the base of his cock loosened, but it was too late. Din wasn't at the edge anymore. He was still aroused, harder than Din had maybe ever been in his life, but he wasn't ready to tip over the edge.
"It's all right," Boba said soothingly. "Let me help."
He didn't put his mouth back on Din, but he did use the loose ring of his fingers to glide up and down Din's spit-wet cock a few times, the sensation smooth and almost frictionless. Din's heart sank even as his body reacted, his belly tightening again, that precipice rushing towards him. He knew what was going to happen before it did. Just like last time, Din's body tensed, fingers and toes curling, and Boba curled his fingers around the base of Din's cock again, cutting off Din's orgasm and jerking him back from that edge. Din made a frustrated sound and did tug on his restraints then, reaching fruitlessly for Boba. He didn't get more than half an inch, the wishhook silk pulling tight,
and he growled again. Boba just chuckled darkly. "I can do this for a while, you know," he said. Din flashed his teeth at Boba again, pressing back into the mattress. Stubbornness was pushing its way up through his chest again. Is this some kind of game? Din thought. He shifted his hips again, restless. He didn't know what Boba wanted. "Hey," said Boba, setting one hand onto Din's hip and holding him fast. "Settle down, you'll hurt yourself." Din growled. He started, hotly, feeling needled and prickled and taunted and teased, feeling cornered and caught and furious with it. But Boba didn't intend to let Din have even this little rebellion. Boba, lightning fast, let go of Din's cock and wrapped his fingers around Din's balls. Din froze instinctively. Din had taken a knee to the groin before. He'd given a knee to the groin before. He knew how effective it was. Any sentient with similar equipment instinctively tried to protect that part of their anatomy. Din was no different. He tried to slam his legs closed, but of course he couldn't. The Wishok silk held fast. His hips barely twitched. The muscles of his thighs spasmed. Boba tightened his grip. It felt like a punch. All the air went out of Din's lungs. Boba didn't let up, and pain built in Din's groin like a bruise, like something deeper. He felt like he had during their spar when Boba had jammed his knee into the crease of Din's thigh. Like Boba was going to go right through Din, was going to pin him to the bed, to the floor. "Ah," Boba said. "Found your manners, I think." Din could only pant harshly. The edge of orgasm had disappeared entirely. Now a new kind of tension was building, awful and buzzing. Din's mouth had gone dry with fear. "Yeah," said Boba, mostly to himself. "Okay, let's go with this, "Boba," Din started, but he already knew it was too late. Boba pulled. He probably didn't pull that hard, really. He'd already said that he didn't want to truly hurt Din tonight. He'd promised not to do anything that would take Din more than a day or two to recover from. He cared about Din. But Din couldn't think about any of that, not like this. It felt like Boba was trying to rip him apart, like one more twist of Boba's hand would have torn Din in two, bleeding all over the bed, and there was nothing Din could do about it. The silk ties held him. Boba's other hand held him. The fear was worse than the pain. It pushed down on Din's lungs like a bruise, spread up to coil, sickly and swooping in his belly. There was nowhere for Din to go, no way he could get out. And Boba... Boba still had Din in his hands. He was speaking. Not the soothing, light, half-mocking nonsense, a jumble of words and phrases. He was saying something else. "I've got you, Sherry," Boba was saying. "I've got you. Just breathe, Danica." Boba didn't increase the pressure, but he didn't let up either. He just held position, pulling away from Din's body with enough force that it burned, that Din had to catch a cry of pain behind his teeth with all his will. "Just breathe," Boba repeated. It was an order. Shuddering, Din tried to obey. He pulled a noisy, wet breath in through his teeth. The blindfold was damp. "Again," Boba ordered. Din breathed again. And breathing pulled the pain into his body, dragged it up from between Din's legs into the bottom of his stomach, then higher when Din breathed in again. He felt it against his ribs, curling in his shoulders, swimming behind his eyes.
"Meshla," said Boba softly.
He finally released his bruising grip on Din's hip and used his newly freed hand to skim his fingers over the damp skin of Din's cock. Din felt the blunt prickle of Boba's fingernails and tensed. But Boba didn't do anything worse than run his thumb over the head of Din's dick, making a deep, pleased little sound as his thumb found a fresh bead of pre-cum.
"Meshla," Boba repeated. "You're still hard, Jerrica."
Din couldn't see the evidence, but he could feel it. He was still hard. Every light touch of Boba's hand sent pleasure sparking up Din's spine. It mingled with the deep, bruising pain Boba had lodged into Din's every breath and heartbeat.
Pain and pleasure braided together, Din could hardly tell one from the other.
Meshla, said Boba a third time, and he eased off on Din's balls a little.
Just like with the clamps, the release of pressure was almost worse than the pressure itself. Din stopped himself from shouting, but he couldn't stop the whine of pain that slipped from his teeth. His cock twitched against Boba's fingers. Boba chuckled.
Almost there, he said coaxingly.
He tightened his grip again, pulled, then pushed in. He ran his thumbnail down the underside of Din's cock.
You can do it, can't you? You can get there.
Din wanted to shout at him. He wanted to snarl. He wanted to cry. He was crying, he realized distantly. The silk blindfold covering his eyes was wet.
I'm gonna make you come, Boba had said. And I'm gonna make it hurt, and then you're gonna thank me for it.
It did hurt. It did. It hurt so badly that Din couldn't imagine coming, couldn't imagine wanting this. Except, he did want it. He did. He was close. The last of Din's resolve crumpled in the face of that realization. That it hurt, but Din wanted it anyway. That Boba was willing to give it to him.
Please, Din begged, his throat thick with tears. Boba, please, please, I...
Boba finally let go of Din's balls, the pressure easing even as Din choked on a sob. And then Boba wrapped his hand all the way around Din's cock, jacked him once, twice, and Din came messily all over Boba's fist, all over his stomach, his orgasm ripped out of him with more force than it ever had in Din's life. Din's vision guttered out. His ears rang. Nonsense praise filtered past his perception, Boba soothing him, jacking Din's spent cock a few times to ease the hurt that had built there, and smearing the mess into the skin of Din's stomach. Din shook all over, shook through the praise, shook against the ties. His mouth was open, tears tracked down his face. Gradually, Din became dimly aware of the fact that Boba was still hard against the soft junction of Din's inner thigh and his hip. He was so warm, Din thought he'd burn just touching him. And he wanted it. He wanted it. He could barely remember his own name, couldn't string a word together beyond please. But he wanted it. Din's legs were still spread invitingly. He made a broken sound in the back of his throat, trying to invite Boba back in, to let Boba take his pleasure now that all of the fight was gone from Din's body. But Boba only made a soothing sound in answer and leaned down to fumble with the silk still tethering Din to the bed.
Udesi, Boba soothed, easing Din's ankle free of the restraint.
He rubbed at the bruised skin there to warm it, to encourage Din to roll the limb around to get some circulation back.
Udesi, you did so well for me, Sherry. You took that so well. You did so well.
Din let Boba coddle him, let Boba soothe his bruises and gather all of Din's limbs together, tipping Din over on his side so that there was room for Boba to settle in beside him, their bodies touching from shoulder to knee. Boba was warm. When he'd gotten settled, he drew Din into his arms and let Din tuck his face against Boba's chest where Din could feel Boba's heart beating against the skin of his cheek.
It's all right, Boba repeated. The word was thick and round.
Din curled closer.
Udesi, you did very well.
Din said. He made himself pull away a little. There was something he wanted to tell Boba, and it was important, a bright thought pushing through the comfortable quiet that had settled over the rest of his mind.
He gave it to me, Din thought, dazed.
Din had asked for quiet, and Boba had given it to him. They lay, curled together like that for a while, Din just drifting, sore all over and delighted by it, made loose and easy by it, while Boba ran his thumb up and down the curve of Din's spine. Gradually, Din came back into his body, his tremors giving way to honest exhaustion, his aches into true pain. Boba seemed to sense instinctively when Din returned to his own skin, because he grunted softly, tilted Din off his chest for a moment, and vanished into the fresh air, returning a moment later with a glass of water and his ever-present jar of Bacta. Din was so wrung out that he didn't even protest this time as Boba rubbed Bacta against Din's wrists and ankles, against the places where Boba had nipped him, even against the sore, tender skin of Din's testicles. Bacta, Din grumbled when Boba had finished, cleaned both his hands and the mess on Din's belly, and tucked himself back in against Din's side. Does not belong there. Boba chuckled. It does if you want to be able to walk in the morning, Sherika, he said. Boba tugged the blindfold off, and Din blinked, startled. He hadn't even realized he'd still been wearing it. He hid his face in Boba's chest, even the light of the moons over the desert too bright. Boba patted a few curls at the nape of Din's neck absently. I don't want you to hate me in the morning, he said lightly. You're all sweet now, but bruised balls aren't anyone's idea of a good time. Din mumbled something derogatory into Boba's ribcage. I'm not the one who bruised him, he muttered. There was another thought growing underneath all of that, though, underneath Din's exhaustion and soreness and the desire to get as close to Boba as possible, to bask in his warmth for as long as Boba would let him. The thought was bright and clear and urgent. Din sighed and peeled his face away, holding his head up long enough to look Boba in the eye. Boba looked back at him, steadily. His eyes glittered in the dark. Boba, Din said. I could never hate you. Boba looked at Din for a long moment. It was too dark to read his expression, and Din was too tired to try, honestly. Too tired to stare into the dark and hope he'd been understood. Then Boba chuckled, a rough, familiar sound, and pulled Din closer. Go to sleep, Jerrica, said Boba. It's too late for sentiment. But he had understood. Din could hear it buried in his voice. A slight hitch, an understanding. Good, Din thought, tucking his face back into Boba's chest. Boba rested his chin on top of Din's head. Satisfied that his point had been made, Din finally did as he was told and drifted off, warm and held all over, into sleep.